Well, good morning again, and as the camera has been turned on, good morning to all you out there in Longmeadow Video Land. I'm going to call it that, Longmeadow Video Land. You heard the update last week to Brother Charles. We are at $2,100 as we come down the pike toward the end of November to raise up the money for his housing. So I ask you that if you want to continue to help be a part of that, you can send your donations in here. Just say that they're for Brother Charles, and we'll see to it that it gets put in the kitty. We're thankful for those that are out there helping us to do it. And you all know who you are. And some of you smart alecks won't leave a return address on the envelope, so I can't call you out. You think you're funny. Our scripture lesson today comes from Daniel chapter 3, starting in the 26th verse. That's right. We're going Old Testament. Daniel chapter 26, I'm sorry, chapter 3, verse 26 through 30. While you're looking that up, a man was visiting his doctor. And he was getting his checkup and everything. And the doctor said, "You're in pretty good shape. Tell me about your exercise regime." He said, "Well, yesterday was Saturday, so I walked 5 miles over rough and hilly terrain." And the doctor said, "That's incredible." He said, "Well, I ain't nothing." He said, "I waded through waters across 2 lakes. The doctor said, "That's amazing." He said, "That ain't nothing." He said, "I walked the beaches getting sand in my toes for hours." The doctor says, I've never heard of anything like that done on a single Saturday. You must be quite the avid outdoorsman." And the man laughed and looked at him and said, "Nope, I'm just a terrible golfer." That's a funny one. Daniel chapter 3, starting in the 26th verse. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the words that will come tumbling forth, that they will make sense, that they will be pleasing to the ear, that they will be lifting, they will be with joy, they will be with teaching, they will be with guidance as we continue our walk behind Jesus Christ. Father, let them be heard and let them strengthen all of us, anyone who hears your words, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of his children said, Amen. I have not been able to smile in 23 years. I'm going to say that again because I caught some attention my way. I see people looking down and they're getting settled in to hear the long-winded preacher preach. I'm sure you at home with your popcorn and your soda pop is sitting there getting ready to go, "All right, let's see what old windbag has for this." I'm going to say it again. I have not smiled in 23 years. Can you imagine going through a day and not smiling at anything? Huh? Try it. Try it one time. You just cannot do it unless you're really an old grinchy sourpuss. And even at the end of the movie, the old Grinch, when he smiled, you know, his mouth went up and turned into little curly cues and his heart got big. You can see where my head's headed. 23 years without a smile was a statement made by a woman named Audrey Mabry. I have not been able to smile in 23 years. Now, I'm going to apologize in advance for the story that I am about to tell you because it's horrific. And I'm sorry, but we're all adults here and it has a point. Audrey was estranged from her husband in 2009 when she was out jogging. And they still shared a house even though she didn't live there. But she stopped by after she was jogging to get done jogging to get a drink of water. She thought her husband, who was a cop, man last name of Haney, would be in court that day. And so she came in the house where he was waiting for her. And he set upon her, hit her in the head with a hammer, carried her out into the garage where he proceeded to beat her, ending their encounter by covering her with gasoline and setting her on fire. She escaped, ran out from the garage where the neighbor's son saw everything and was able to put her flames out and get 911 to come help. In 2009, this took place. She was burned, second and third degree burns, over 80% of her body and lost most of her ability to blink, her hair, and she could not smile for 23 years. It is the physical scars from an article about her that Mabry said will never go away. She'll never be able to spend an extended amount of time in the sun. Burn victims overheat because they cannot sweat. It's gone. She will never be able to run a mile every day like she used to, like she did that November day just before Christopher Haney, her retired New York City detective, doused her in gasoline and put her on fire. Audrey spent 6 months in a coma, and it took a year and a half to remember the pain. It finally came to her in a dream, she said, and it was excruciating. 2009, this happened. In the past few months, though, the past several years, actually, tied in with a group called Face Forward, Audrey has began to have her life changed. She is undergoing surgeries, and a lot of them, to which will give her back a physical appearance again. What struck me was a statement she made, and I'm putting on my glasses to make sure I read it right, word for word. I happened on this article while floating around on the internet looking for information about old Indian motorcycles. Don't ask me how I get where I was, but it was where I was, and the article struck me. She said, "I made a choice when I came to the realization. When she looked in the mirror and finally allowed herself to see what she had become, she said, quote, I made a choice to live," said Mabry, who said that all we have is a choice every day. In fact, she credits five choices she made to her confidence and empowerment of today. I made five choices, five, she describes. I made a choice to be strong. I made a choice to accept myself, to forgive my husband. I made a choice to be happy and to have faith in God. Such faith. In one of the articles I read, she said, I will never be like God made me to look like ever again, but I will be what God has intended me to be. If this is His journey, then so be it. And she accepted it. Such faith. That's an amazing amount of faith. I told you all here a couple weeks ago I was making ham and eggs and I burnt myself on the skillet, right? I had a big old blister right here on this finger. Probably was, a big blister. And I kept walking around to my wife going, I got a boo-boo, honey. I got a boo-boo. See my boo-boo? And she would go, stop it. Well, all I was trying to do was get a smooch. But I know what it feels like. Everybody has burnt themselves at least once. For the general public that have burnt themselves one or two times, you're intelligent because you figured out how to stop doing it. When your name is Paul Nelson Leatherman III, you have burnt yourself all the time, every time. You don't even know when it's coming. You just know sometime this month you're going to burn yourself again. And I cannot begin to imagine that life, never being able to smile again. For those of you in video land, you don't get to see it. In the morning when he's here, little Hunter back there likes to look at me. And I like to look at Hunter and I'll go, yeah. And when I do that, little Hunter will hide down. And then he'll pop up and smile. And then he'll pop. And I smile. And can you imagine the faith you have in God Almighty to accept what you've become? Someone who will never be able to smile again. Such faith, it's something that we need. It's something that should be permeating from us. Go back to your Bibles. For those of you out in video land, there are a few who may not know this story. And I chose just to take the end of the scripture. But Daniel chapter 3, all 30 verses are the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I want to explain this story to you, because I want you to listen to it from an angle you haven't heard before. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. In case you don't remember where Babylon is, can anybody tell me where it is today in the modern world? Iraq. Give you a little bit of a point for it. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before it, and there the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you're commanded to do, O peoples, nations of men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace." Let's stop there for a moment, shall we? Let's talk about that set of scriptures right out of the gate. You know, I have studied old King Nebuchadnezzar because he fascinates me. The hanging gardens, what he was able to do. Handsome dude like myself, you know, kind of looks like me from the neck up. And I've always been really fascinated with him. And everybody says, you know, you hear people talk about the Bible and they don't pay attention to the one word in it. He said that the statue of gold that had been set up was of himself. But that's not what the Bible says. It just says a statue. We take it to mean it probably was of him, because he was a very narcissistic individual. Not unlike me. I mean, I'm not that way. But he said, "Because I am Nebuchadnezzar." I look pretty good when I do that. He said, "I'm going to set this statue up, and here's what you're going to do. You're going to worship it." And the Bible says, called all the satraps, prefects, treasurers, ledgers, governors, magistrates, dog catchers, I don't know, street cleaners, and brought them all in and said, "Look, here's what I'm going to do. And I want you to go back and tell everybody, of everybody around, all the way around, that when you play the zither," and to this day, I want to know what a zither is. You play the zither, the lyre is kind of a guitar, the harps, the horns, the cymbals, the drums, the banjo. Whenever you play it, when you hear those sounds, everybody's got to fall down and worship the statue. And then they give out the penalty. Now, who thinks of this stuff? You know, you would think going to be thrown in prison, maybe be thrown out into the desert. No, going to be thrown into a blazing furnace. So here a while back, I took a class where they explained the blazing furnace. And the furnace was actually a large room that he could stand from a perch and look down in as his enemies were thrown into it. A furnace. A fire. So now we've got everybody bowing down. It's kind of like today's world, isn't it, folks? And yeah, I'm about to say it, and I'm probably going to get into trouble. But in today's world, if you don't bow down to the people who scream, be tolerant, be tolerant, be tolerant, they aren't very tolerant, are they? Kind of funny how it mirrors this point in time. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound, verse 7, of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music. See, I told you banjos are in the Bible. All the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And at this time, some astrologers, people who studied the stars and told the king how to live according to the alignment of the planets, came forward and denounced the Jews. Now remember, the king had taken over the Jewish state and had drug a bunch of them back with him. And amongst these Jews, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, including banjos, must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now you can almost see the smile, verse 12. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Little tattletales. And that is a snapshot of the world today. If you are not doing exactly like we want you to do, regardless of how immoral or wrong it is, we're going to make you pay for it. You can have your faith there, Christian, as long as you don't show it. You can be who you are there, Christian, as long as you don't show it. And it rattles our faith, doesn't it? Say amen. Amen. Sometimes it does make you curious, doesn't it? Sometimes you are nervous. Sometimes maybe you feel awkward, unless you're me. And as my wife would tell you, with my thick head, I don't really care what you think of me. I'm going to say whatever I want to say and roll on with it. But too many people today have let go of it. Verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now you've got to remember, if you go back in your history of Daniel, these men who were great and powerful, faithful men to God had been put in charge because of what they were to the king. They were able to lead. You know the story about not eating the rich foods and how they survived. And now he's mad at him. And he says he brings them in. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, including banjos, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? That's the world today. That's what shakes our faith. If you don't do exactly what we tell you to do as the way we believe it, regardless of whether or not it goes right along with what Jesus taught, we're going to make you pay for it. And it hurts. And our faith gets checked sometimes. And then we're set forth to ask a question. How do we respond? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. I love that line. Listen, buddy, thank you for the offer, but we are not going to be paying attention to you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. Now listen carefully. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind now. He got told no. Probably Probably never heard those words all of in his entire life. Okay, I'll teach you a lesson. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them had changed. He ordered the furnace heated to 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. How hot was it? It was so hot they couldn't even get near it. It was killing them. So I read an article where in order to get them in there, they made long poles out of wood, got them close enough, and shoved them in into the fire. I want to know how many people, if you were faced with that, and don't you lie to me because we're in church. I want to know how many people, and I'll look here in the camera too, knowing that they were going to be marched into a death like that, would not be afraid. Go ahead, put your hands up, I dare you. Because I can tell you right now, I'd be terrified. Oh, well, you know, can we talk about this for a minute? Look, here, Kenny, listen. I'm not necessarily going to bow down and worship, but I won't make you a lot of trouble. Just, you know, I don't want to be a marshmallow roasted on your fire. Can we talk about this? No, we'd be terrified. But our God that looked over these three men had given them such strength and they had such faith. Whatever. We'll either live here or live there. It doesn't matter. Our God has provided. And so they shoved them in. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, and I got to admit, I choke up when I read this. Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed. The fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out of there. Come here." And they walked out. They walked out. Flames all around them. And they walked out. And the Bible records it. He gathered everybody around. He said, "Look at this. What in the world is going on?" Not only were they not burned, they were not harmed. Their clothes were not singed or burned. Their feet weren't dirty. Their hair wasn't singed. And they didn't even smell like smoke. How many people has ever sat around a campfire? Good. Everybody put your hands up. You too in video land. And I see you in the back in video land. Put your hand up. Everybody sat around a campfire. And let me ask you, you get that perfect spot, right? You got that campfire going, man. The flames are going. You got your big long stick with your hot dog on it. You got that perfect spot, right? Everybody's smiling because they all know. And you put your butt down on the stool, rock, bench, seat, whatever it is. And you sit down and you go, "I'm going to roast this thing." And that fire shifts every time and starts blowing the smoke right in your face, doesn't it? And so what do? You get up and you go over here. I'll teach you a lesson. And you sit down and the smoke comes around. My family can sit at the fire and the smoke follows me everywhere. Not them, me. And you always walk in the house and somebody walks by you and goes, "Hey, were you sitting next to a campfire? Because you sure smell like one." Really? They didn't even smell like it. Such was their faith in God that they were saved in a way we can't imagine. Every time I read this story, it makes me want to break out into song. Now, you guys can't see what I'm looking at, but there are a couple people like, "Don't do it. Don't do it, Paul." But there is a song that identifies the three men in the furnace. It's called "The Preacher and the Bear." Haven't you never heard the song, The Preacher and the Bear? It's a song about faith. It's a song that, probably goes like this. A preacher went out hunting, 'twas on one Sunday morn. Being against his religion, but he took his gun along. Shot himself some very fine quail and a couple big measly hare. And upon his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Now the bear marched out in the middle of the road, and he looked at the preacher, you see. And the preacher got so excited that he climbed up a sycamore tree. The bear sat down upon the ground, and the preacher come out on a limb. And he cast his eyes to the Lord in the sky, and these words said to him, Oh Lord, you deliver Daniel from the lion's den. Oh Lord, brother Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then them three Hebrew children from the fire burns to the good book to declare. Now, Lord, oh, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, won't you help that bear? You know that song. Now, the preacher stayed up in that. Everybody's laughing. Now, the preacher stayed up in that tree. I think it was all night. He said, oh, Lord, if you don't help that bear, you're going to see such an awful fight. Just about then, the limb gave way, and the preacher come tumbling down. And he wanted the Lord to see him get his razor out before he hit the ground. He hit the ground, cut right and left. And he put up a pretty good fight. But the old bear got a hold of him and squeezed him a little too tight. Well, the preacher then lost his razor. But the bear hung on to him. And he cast his eyes to the Lord in the sky. And these words said to him, Oh Lord, you deliver Daniel from the lion's den. Oh Lord, brother Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then them three Hebrew children from the fire burned to the good book to declare. Now, Lord, oh Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes, put a muzzle on that bear. That's a song about faith. And that's what we have to have. We have to approach it just like that. We're going to have faith. Seriously. Look, I am horrible at times. I forget things. I don't follow through sometimes. I have a temper. I make comments that are stupid and do things that, in general, still make me almost the rough person that I once was every so often. But I believe. No, that's not good enough, is it? I have to believe. I need to believe. You do too. I need to believe it. I want to believe it. Why we have such faith? You'd think for once I'd remember to mark the page. I'll tell you why. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means in Aramaic, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. But when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tomb broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. That's what I believe. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he was born of Mary. I believe that he walked, he preached, he healed, he died, he rose again. And I believe that my wretched life, I have this such faith that no matter what I have done stupidly 20 minutes ago, I am forgiven. And that one day when I leave this mud ball, I will see him face to face. It was so beautiful. Usually it's the last hymn, but today it was the first hymn. When we all get to heaven, What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. What a beautiful song. What a beautiful thought. And we have such faith for that. One of the most tragic events during the Ronald Reagan presidency, and a lot of you know it, was the Sunday morning that the Beirut bombing took place. I remember it. Many can still recall those terrible scenes of dazed and wounded soldiers ripping through rubble to get their brothers out. James Dobson was writing this story. He said, "A few days later, I recall coming across an extraordinary story. Marine Corps Commander Paul X. Kelly, visiting wounded then in Frankfurt, Germany hospital. Among them was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton, severely wounded in the incident. Nashton had so many tubes running in and out of his body that a witness said he looked more like a machine than a man, yet he survived. As Kelly neared him, Nashton, struggling to move, racked with pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. He wrote a brief note and then passed it back to the commandant. On the slip of paper handed to Kelly were two simple words, Semper Fi, the Latin motto of the Marines meaning forever faithful. With these two simple words, Nashton spoke for the millions of Americans who had sacrificed body and limb in their lives for their country and reminded us to be faithful. And for Audrey, on November the 11th, 2018, Audrey smiled again. Face forward had given her back the simple ability to smile. And that's not all. The reason she smiled on November the 11th, 2018, was Audrey had found love and married Daniel Prosper. And today she is Audrey Mabry Prosper. Such faith. Such faith. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you. We are facing dark and daunting times. I got it. We don't need to walk around looking like this. Because we're Christians. You know what I've said about that. If I see you looking like that, when I say, "Good morning, Christian, how are you?" and you go, then you and I have to talk. Because yeah, we have a lot to hurt. We have a lot to be scared of. We have a lot to think of. But God is in control. Jesus Christ died to save us. No matter what happens here, we have so much more around us. We are touched by beauty every day. Look out the window, look at the trees, look at the wind blowing. And remember, we have such faith because Jesus Christ died, rose again, and through His death saved us now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We thank You, Father. We thank You in these moments. We thank You that sometimes we get tested. Now, I'll scratch that. We thank You that oftentimes we get tested. We thank You, Father, that You gave us Jesus Christ. I can't even imagine it. If we had to face this world without You, without Him, thank You, Father. Thank You for giving us ways to restore our faith. And let us be ever mindful of it. You are still in control. Everything is happening according to Your will. And yes, we too can smile. Because we also have such faith. Please bless and keep us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you out there, find someone to pray with if you're hurting, if you're lost. For those of you in here today, the bench is open. And may God bless and keep you now and forevermore.